It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you've heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was a kid that was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor, and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive. It just won't stall.
Hey, well, welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Remke, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed on the hill in Spanish Fort. Yep. The new restaurant. What an awesome place. They got, I think they started trivia over there tonight. Special deal at night. I don't know. They got something new going on over there all the time. But we went over. The other day, what did we get? We had breakfast.
Well, yeah, man, there you go.
Vittles was fine.
Oh, sure.
Vittles. Sure. You can tell I'm country. Vittles. Yeah. I didn't have breakfast. I had vittles.
There you go. There you go.
Right there in that there restaurant. Right there. I dig it.
Always good food. That's
yeah,
for sure.
That's great. They put good food in their food.
Yeah, believe it or not. Believe it or not.
Yeah. So. I asked him, I said, where the hell did you come up with that stuff at? He said, when you hear these restaurants start talking about putting these wood shavings in there, you know, with sawdust and what have you, save on the money, he says, and, you know, just soaking it with grease. He said, we put good food in our food.
Yeah, yeah. Put real food in there.
Yeah, put real food in our food.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Definitely makes a difference, too.
It do.
And so I assume everybody's made it through the week without any real problems.
But, well, I hope they did.
Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, I tell you what, this little deal we just had a while ago, as many weeks as we've gone on without rain,
mm-hmm.
and we have a rain like we just had a while ago, it was heavy, but it wasn't long enough to wash the grease off of the road.
Right.
But we had enough water to activate the greases as dry and oils that have dropped on the road. So be careful.
Yeah.
Guys and gals that ride motorcycles, they hate this kind of the deal tonight and tomorrow because the roads get slick, really, really slick.
Right.
Because all that, you know, if we normally have our normal heavy rains and all, well, it washes all that off, washes it out, goes into the drains. But when it sits there and all this heat and accumulates, and it's also making a little bit of that oil residue out of the asphalt.
Right.
Where we have the asphalt roads, then you hit that one rain, and all it does is, man, it makes it slick as what it does.
It does.
Well, it does.
It does. Yes. That's one of the worst times when it first starts raining just a little bit on the
road. Oh, yeah.
Because you mix water with that.
With that oil.
It just gets slick.
It's butt-busting time. Yeah. Here on the coast.
No doubt.
So you need to be real careful with that. But, you know, I was looking at some hacks today on the internet,
mm-hmm.
automobile hacks, and I thought it was cool. They talked about, which we don't have a lot of ice and snow here, but it said if you had ice or frost on your windshield, that you could go in a house and get an old Irish potato, cut it in half, and come back out and rub it on that frost, and it would melt the frost. But then rub it on the windshield itself, and the next time you had frost, it wouldn't stick. If I have frost, I'm going to try that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's worth a shot.
And then it came back with one of the memory things that we've had about a penny, checking the depth of the tread on your tires.
Yep.
Well, I always heard that if it touches his head, then it's okay. But the reading that we just had from the professionals there a while ago was, it has got to touch his forehead. If the rubber touches the forehead, you're all right for a while on your tires because the tread is deep enough. But if you could see the top of his head on that penny, then it's you need to be looking for a set of tires.
Right. Well, I just reached in my pocket to look for one, and I got everything but a penny in
there. There you go.
But,
They're, pity for your thoughts.
Yeah. And it's probably, you know, 3/32 is the measurement that they're looking for. So they're just trying to give you a reference to look at it. And, you know, like on a quarter, it's about to the top of the head.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, and all coins are different, but really, you know.
But 3/32 is a factual figure.
Yeah, the actual number you're looking for is a 3/32.
I used to have, when I had the automotive shop, I had a little gauge that you could put on it, and it would show you if it moved it, then, you know, if it moved the top of that gauge, then it was warranted, you know, needed some tires.
Right. And that's, you know, every one of my guys have a tire tread depth gauge.
Okay.
And that's something that we require them to check when they're doing a service on a vehicle. And, you know, of course, they're always checking the brakes and that kind of stuff as well. So, you know, you need at least that 3/32 to be able to move that water.
Right.
You know, when it's dry, it doesn't help really on the traction that much. But as soon as you get a little water on the road, channel that water out.
It won't funnel that water out of there.
Right.
But, you know, and then you have to consider if you're getting down that slick with that tread, then you're getting on a slick tire.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. Really, really dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Another thing they were talking about is you see so many cars now that have these real, really bad lenses on the headlights. And they were talking about you could wash them real good with some, actually, I think you need to put some degreaser on it to get that road funk off of there from the road. Same place where we're talking about on the road, because it's on those headlight lens. And you could put a little degreaser on that all. And they said that you could take toothpaste and put it on there and rub it with your with an old toothbrush. And let it dry, and then rub it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me tell you this one I heard. I actually had it happened to my son. He was at his car being worked on over at that was actually at Scotty's shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I had noticed his headlight lens on his car, and I'm going like, son, you don't dry that thing at night, do you? He said, not much. I said, well, you dang sure don't need to. You can't see all them dang headlights. I said, those things are bad, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, somebody, Jason, it works with Scotty, or Scotty saw it, and Tony mentioned something, said, yeah, Daddy just got on my butt about that a while ago. He says, let me fix this. He said, what are you going to do? I'll show you. So he went back there and got a can of DEET mosquito spray. Now, I don't know what the hell's in there. But he said that they sprayed that on that lens, took a rag, and he didn't go around and around in circles. He just made good, clean swipes across there with it.
Right.
You know? And he said, then he got another rag and buffed it off. He says, Dad, I can see my headlight bulbs and everything in it. So, you know, but he says, you know what scares me to death? I said, no. I don't know where I want to use DEET on my skin or not. I don't know what's in there that will cut that plastic. That's a plastic.
Right.
Or a form of plastic,
yeah,
you know?
Most of them nowadays are some kind of plastic.
It's not glass, you know?
Now, it's, which is really a good thing, because if you look at the cost of some of these headlights nowadays.
Oh, Lord.
You don't want a glass lens, because it's going to get hit.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, because you can destroy $2,000 worth of headlight.
Ooh, in a heartbeat.
In a hurry. So.
Well, the bad part about it is, Kev, a lot of the front end has to be disassembled.
Yeah, and they're all different, but it's you got to take the front bumper cover off most of them to get to the headlight and that. So
I saw them take try to put a headlight bulb or a thing in a BMW, and I says, well, are y'all gonna put it all back together? He said, well, they took the front bumper cover off, and all kind of stuff come out of that thing to that darn bulb.
Yeah, and there's a lot to it, but, you know, most of them are designed to come off, you know, because, to do most of the repairs right there around the radiator, air conditioner, any of the parking sensors, all that kind of stuff, you got to pull that off to do it.
All of that's got to come off.
So it's... They make them fairly easy to come off. Mm-hmm. They're not. You know, it ain't the end of the world to have to pull a bumper cover off anymore.
Okay. You
know? It's not like an older car where you're pulling the front cap off of it.
Taking it off and putting it back on is not too bad, but you sure don't want to have to buy it.
No. You don't want to have to buy any of that stuff.
No, that stuff, you're talking about $3,000 or $4,000 just for a bumper cover.
Yeah. By the time someone has to paint it and put it on, and that's all you really did was damage a bumper cover, you're going to spend a little money.
Yep. But they don't make spray bombs that look decent either.
No. But we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
100,000 miles on my knees, hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man. When I turned 16, I saved a few hundred bucks. My first car was a pickup truck. I was cruising the town.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We haven't heard from our regulars this morning.
No, we haven't.
Or this evening, rather.
Yeah. I wonder if somebody's calling in. Number five fans is even alive.
Yeah, we got to check on him.
Guess who is number one tonight?
There you go.
I got a new number one.
That's it.
Got a new number one.
There you go.
Donut Man done lost his position. Wait till he hears that.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, I got some news for you. If you're slipping and sliding off the road, time to get some new tires.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you were supposed to enslave those race slicks for the racetrack.
Well, on the racetrack, great, but going down I-65, it ain't too good.
No, they hydroplaned real good.
No. Well, they ain't too good on the racetrack either, slipping and sliding, but...
Well,
I got to tell you guys, I'm a little irritated tonight because after I finished the show talking to you guys last night, I gave up in my little white cancer sticks. So
what?
I'm a little
what?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Gave them up.
Good job.
What a blessing.
Well, good.
You are so smart. Have you gone a week?
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
So
that's good. You will love it. Man, I quit 45 years ago smoking, and that's why I'm still here.
I hope to get as old as you are, but I only got 50, 60, 70 years to go.
Well, you did good, because I quit smoking when I was in, let's see what I'd been. I've been 38 or 39 years old. I quit smoking.
Well, I'm happy for you, and I'm trying to do my best to stay off these damn things.
Well, don't put them in your pocket. Don't have them around you.
There you go, and get a bunch of chewing gum.
Hey, I know it, and peppermints, you know. But people used to somebody back in the day, they'd have a little matchbox and they'd strike a match, and I'd smell that sulfur that was in that thing when they were. Fire that, I'm going like, oh, my God, get out of my way. Get out of here. You're going to make me smoke.
Uh-huh.
All right, now I got two questions for you guys. First one is about my son's Chevy Malibu. It's 2014.
Malibu.
Just put a new battery in it about 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 13.7 volts on it, showing on the voltmeter. The radio works, the wipers work, the windows work, but it won't crank.
Ooh. Hmm.
Does it even try and crank?
It'll do that. And I'm wondering if it has something to do with that auto start.
Probably not. If I had to guess, it's probably going to be a connection problem somewhere, either on the ground side. The ground cables were really bad on those cars. So, I mean, the best way to check it would be to, you know, do a voltage drop, you know, from the negative battery terminal on the battery to the block and try and crank it and see how much voltage you end up with. If you've got more than 150 millivolts, you've got a bad battery cable or poor connection somewhere, more than likely the cable itself. You know, you need to check the positive cable the same way.
Kevin, it did this before. Now, of course, this car does sit for sometimes 2, maybe 3 weeks before it gets cranked because my son's off playing in the Atlantic Ocean out there at Ascension Island doing his little thing out there.
Right.
But I wouldn't think that, I mean, I was driving around and when the auto start would crank the car back up, the battery, the radio would go off. And I've never experienced that before.
Right. Well, and that is usually because of the, you know, it's right, the voltage has dropped too much when it went to crank. Now, a bad battery, and just because you have a newer battery doesn't mean it's good. So, you know, the battery could be failing. You either have that or you've got a, or you just got a bad connection, one or the other. And also, if that one, I can't remember if it has the little short cable on it for the positive. If it does, check that one real close because those are notorious for being bad as well. So do a voltage drop and always do a voltage drop test across whatever cable you're checking under a loaded condition like you're trying to crank it. And that'll tell you what's going on. Yeah.
Like all I said. Right, well, if I'm not mistaken, it has it's got a big battery in it.
This thing
almost looks like a cat battery.
Right.
But after we got talking last week, I had a friend of mine come up and ask me about an oil change. And the question was, if I have a vehicle that uses, say, 5W-30, mm-hmm. and it's getting close to time for the oil change, but I'm a quart low.
Right.
And I've got to wait a week till I get paid so I can do the oil change on it. If I have, say, a quart of 10W-40, if I put it in there, will the viscosity change with that weak oil? Will it water that 10W-40 down enough to work?
Well, it will work, and it's definitely better than running low on oil. So I would not, you know, that's not what you would want to do on a regular basis, but you know, if that's what you've got and it's good, clean, fresh oil, I would much rather put that in it than yeah, not put anything
work.
In it.
Yeah. So. It's not recommended for a continuous type deal, but yeah, that will work in under those circumstances.
Yep.
What else you got now? Cause I just got a hot phone call on my cell phone, so you need
Uh-oh.
To be prepared.
Uh-oh, it sounds like Marcus is calling.
Oh, yeah.
Donut Man is taking offense of you trying to take the number one spot.
Oh, I ain't trying to take the number one spot.
Well,
I just had to get in there before he did.
I know, and he said you cut him out because he was dialing in when you dialed in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. Now, you can't take the Donut Man's spot. He getting irate.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, it's getting close to time for the break, so I guess I'll get on out of here. And we're going to see what Marcus has to say when we come back from the break.
He cracked up now.
You
know he cracked up.
All right, y'all have a great night. Simplify.
Right.
Thank
you, Jarhead. Thank you, brother. Hoorah.
Yep. Of course, let's see. We got Marcus. You with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yep, you little slow on the draw tonight, huh?
As a red tomato, when I heard Jarhead said he was number one.
Oh, my Lord.
I already called the guy to print me some signs. I'm finna pick at his jaw.
Oh, my goodness. Pick at his yard. You are not his number
job.
One, fool.
I'm going to go pick at his job.
Oh, it's his job. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm number one.
Be careful of this fool. He will take your job.
Yes, sir. I'm number one.
He'll take your position.
Yes, sir. No, no, I don't want to work.
No. We done went through that work deal, didn't we?
we did that. Jarhead, let me tell you about them cigarettes, man. The last one I had was in 1991. Ooh. I had a massive heart attack. They cracked my chest open. 85% of it was from smoking cigarettes.
Oh, my Lord.
Yep.
1991. I died on the operating table twice. Throw them things out of the window. You don't need them.
Yep.
Yep. And that was in 91?
1991. Massive heart attack.
Yep. That's what, 33 years ago?
The heart attack happened. I lived in Yeskos. My ex-old lady drove me around the corner on Dolphin Street to Spring Hill Memorial. They stabilized me and sent me to Mobile Infirmary. I was there for 18 days, didn't even know my name.
Oh, my Lord.
Died on the operating table twice.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yep.
Please stop, Jawhead. Please stop. Get you some gum. Get you some candy. And you can do it. Trust me.
I gained 25 pounds the first month that I was off of mine.
Huh?
I gained 25 pounds the first month I quit.
I did, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did, too. But after probably about 18 years after that, I started eating better, walking, keeping my mind busy. But Jawhead, you can do it, brother. Trust me.
There you go. So you go. You're not going to get down on him too heavy tonight, huh?
No.
He's under a lot of pressure. He's under a lot of pressure, Mark.
I'm going to live for a couple more years.
Yeah.
37 years old.
Oh, mm-hmm. Like.
Yes, yep. Sir. She's 37 years old.
Yep.
37. What year did they make the four-speed transmission?
Marcus, we're going to have to hang on to that one there until after the break. Hang on for us.
I heard it. Okay.
All right, buddy.
Hold on.
We're going to take a break and let everybody hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raymond, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we still got Marcus on the line. Marcus, you were asking a question about a transmission there, weren't you?
Yes, sir. First thing I want to find out when Jawhead's wife going to make some chicken and dumplings.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. The second thing, what year did they make the first four-speed automatic transmission?
Four-speed automatic. It was somewhere in the early 50s with a Cadillac, if I do remember right.
1939.
39, okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
What kind of car?
General Motors. I ain't got that far yet.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
But, the big difference was that it was a four-speed transmission, but it was not a overdrive. It was, fourth gear was the high gear.
That was a high gear.
It was one-to-one. So,
it
gave you better acceleration, you know. They even back then they had some pretty big motors, but they weren't making a lot of power. And you had some heavy cars,
right?
You
know? Right.
So it needed to help to keep them going or get them going.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Tom, did you know this Cooper guy that just died?
Oh, General Cooper. Yeah.
You met him?
Oh yeah, he was in my outfit.
My daddy knew him.
Oh yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. General Cooper was an awesome gentleman.
Was he really? What a gentleman.
Yes. He was, he was Green Marine, buddy. He was in our P.L. Wilson Detachment, Marine Corps League.
Okay.
That I'm in. And he's been in there, I think I checked the records on it this afternoon, and he's in there like 29 years.
He's in his 80s?
No, he was. Yeah, he's 87.
Oh, okay.
But he was in the Marine Corps League, which we're in.
Yeah.
And I'm a commandant of his. He was in there 29 years. He participated in all of our activities that he could, as long as his health was good.
Yeah.
And back in the days, what an awesome gentleman, though. Yeah, he was a major general, 2-star.
Is he any kin to those Cooper that was the man Pritchard?
A.J. Cooper?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that his mom and dad owned that Christian benevolent funeral home.
Yes. And he still
was
on it.
Yeah, and he was the founder. His wife still runs it, I think.
Yeah.
He was the founder and CEO of the Commonwealth Bank when it was formed.
Yeah.
In Mobile.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's an awesome gentleman. We have been going through a lot of stuff today as to what special details will be formed to honor him for, and you know, in his services as a general in the Marine Corps.
Big to do, huh?
Yeah, and yeah, it's a big deal. He's actually entitled to be buried in Arlington.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes. But his wife decided not to do that because to get buried in Arlington now, it might take 6 months to make that happen.
Okay.
And to do that, then you've got to get another funeral home up there to, take care of the body during this period of time from here until such time as they're ready to make the burial arrangements up there.
So what's wrong with Spanish Fort?
That's where he's going.
Yeah.
He is going to Spanish Fort. The service is going to be Wednesday night. The visitation will be at the Prince of Peace Catholic Church at 454 Charleston Street.
Where's that?
Charleston is off government downtown, Oakley.
Oakley District.
Yeah. Okay. If you're going downtown towards the tunnel, you turn right on Charleston Street. So 454 would be probably at least 4 blocks. Down there the services, our visitation is 5 o'clock till 7 p.m.
Okay.
That's Wednesday night, and then his services will be at the Veterans Cemetery in Spanish Fort at 11 a.m. The 3rd Force Recon Marines will be in attendance, and they will fire the rifles and fold the flag, present the flags, and I think Montford Point Marines detail will be the pallbearers.
Really?
Yeah. So it's
it's going to be a big deal.
Oh, it's going to be a big deal. But now anybody can go to the visitations, but the only family and invited guests will go to the funeral on Thursday. It'd be too big a service. The general didn't want that.
To go to Christian Benevolence.
Well, you can go to Christian Benevolence, though. Actually, me and my detail, if you're going over there, we'll be there at 5 o'clock Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. I think my dad and his little friend are going to be going.
Okay.
Yeah. But all is well. I want to tell y'all, gentlemen, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the show. Thank you for the information. And y'all keep up the good work.
We're trying, brother. We're trying.
And I'm still mad with your head.
I know it. You get over it, though. You get over it.
I'm going to have to take a sleeping pill tonight.
I hear you.
I'll see y'all later, Tom.
Make
love
sure it comes out of one of them pills in a bottle, not one of those liquid pills, okay? About 9, what do you call them, 9 shots of pill?
Yes, sir. Y'all take care.
Love you, brother. Take care.
Yes, sir. Love y'all. I'll talk to you this week, Tom.
Yeah, do that, brother. Do that.
Talk to you later, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, buddy. Looks like we got another caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yeah, I was trying to get on with Marcus. And come on now, Philip. If my mom can get two of them on there at the same time, you can too now.
Well, we know how to do that. We just didn't want the dang lines to burn up.
Yep.
The fuse link between the two lines might short out.
That's right.
Well, now, I know Marcus is still listening. So, Marcus, you don't worry about the chicken and dumplings. You just bring the donuts.
Oh!
Yep.
When? What did the boss say? When?
Yes, cook-off.
When's cook-off?
Oh, well.
Hey, and I was going to tell him it was a 1939 GM on a question he asked. But,
yeah, because you know how to get on that internet just like he does. You can get Google-itis too, huh?
GTS.
Yeah.
Google that stuff.
Good, there you go. Hey, you're going to have to come over to Post 88 Saturday week. We're going to be cooking, smoking some butts and ribs over there.
All right, well, I'll get up with you.
Come on over there and shoot the breeze with us.
All right, I sure will. But, Marcus, I know you're listening. I'm after your spot now, brother. I'm after your spot. I beat you in tonight.
Uh-oh.
We're going to see what's going to happen next week.
There you go. We'll see who gets in here first next week.
All right, y'all guys. Y'all have a great night.
All right.
Love the show.
Take care.
Thank you, Jaria. But, it's always fun. But, yeah, we're talking a little bit about transmissions and the first four-speed automatic, and that's going on back into 1939. But, the primary transmissions were, on most vehicles around that time were standard shifts.
Oh, yeah.
But
didn't have that many automatics. What did they put that automatic in, do you know?
I'm going to say it was Cadillac.
Had to be
also
an Oldsmobile or a Buick.
It had to be either an Oldsmobile or a Cadillac, because those were the two car lines that they did that type of thing.
I don't remember anything, being automatics in any of those the Chevrolets.
No, the Chevrolets, they didn't get them until much later. But, they were fairly new technology, but it was, fairly... It was dependable
and
did its job. They worked well. Just the problem, big problem, was that nobody knew how to work on them.
Well, that's
so it was a whole new world for the automatic transmission stuff. But the shade tree guys were out to lunch. But
back in those days, in the 30s and 40s, the shade tree mechanics were usually what had been the blacksmiths,
right?
In the towns, because they were all the ones that really knew how to do things mechanical, and repair the wheels on the wagons and shoe the horses and all that. So when they got the horses carriage, they brought them to those same people, because they figured they'd know more about it than they did.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's mechanics from the 50s and 60s, they just progressed into what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole different world now than
it's unbelievable.
Then, the mechanical part of what we do is much less than what it used to be,
right?
Versus, back then, everything's electronic, and when I say everything, I mean everything.
Now,
there's a wire hooked to just about every component in the car.
Right.
So, including your brake pads. So, and you can't even change a brake pad without going in and retracting the caliper from a computer to give room to put that new brake pad in. So that's becoming a do-it-yourselfer type thing either.
Wait a minute. You got to. How are you going to retract or make the piston come back in the caliper on the computer? You got to do it with a special diagnostic machine.
You got to do it with a scanner.
A scanner.
And you can go in there and you request it to retract the piston. You can do the front, but when you do the front, it confuses the analog brakes so bad that you got to reset everything anyway. So, brakes are becoming a thing that do it yourself.
They're not going to be no damn $100 brake jobs anymore.
No, and they're not. And they're
when
not.
When did that start?
Well, our 19, I'm going to say 19 up trucks have been that way. Really? Or maybe before that. I maybe had a little brain lapse there. But
holy cow.
Yeah, they've been around for a little while, you know. So, yes, this they've been out long enough that we're starting to see quite a few of them, you know, time for breaks. Mm-hmm. So, but sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in. Well, I'm chugging on down to Memphis. Cruising down to New Orleans.
Tonight it seems so long with the Cajun Queen. And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We got into, after our last caller there, we got into the self-driving technology conversation. And
yes.
You know, they're, cars are getting pretty smart, you know. And the biggest roadblock for implementing the self-driving cars is that, you know, your car may be self-driving, but the other 30 around you aren't.
Right,
you
know? Right.
So... if they were all talking to each other and it knew where you were going and all this kind of stuff,
yeah,
through a navigation system, they could stop and go and turn and maneuver each other around and be closer to each other on the road and do all that stuff and be safe. But there's going to be that one car in the middle of it.
Yeah. That's going to be me, man, driving my town car. Yep. I don't have all that electric stuff.
That's right.
But when that big EMT is whatever it is, that thing that when foreign countries come over here and hit that big electronic spike and shuts all those cars down, mine's going to still run. Yeah, I'm going to keep mine because it'll still run.
Yep.
Can't shut it. It doesn't have a big enough computer to shut it down.
Exactly. You know, there's the technology is great and is going to be safer eventually. But we're still years down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the Tesla, who really got deep into the self-driving, autopilot type stuff, he's backed off.
He's backed off.
Matter of fact,
so,
he's looking at selling his share in that deal.
I'm sure he is. He's made his big money out of that.
Yep. Then apparently it's no fun for him anymore. So
he's catching hell from everywhere. Well, one of the reasons that I brought some of that up was the fact that it was on the internet, or excuse me, on TV today, where the federal government had signed a new bill about the automated emergency braking capabilities of automobiles, mm-hmm, and what they're going to require them to do over the period of years. And that is that they say we're killing 43,000 people a year getting killed on the road. And they want to try to save. I thought they don't talk about all this. It's going to cost a gazillion million dollars to put that in all these cars. And he said, we'd like to save 446 people.
Yeah.
I'm going like, what? So that is that, is that $100 million a person that you're going to spend? But, some people might consider their life worth $100 million. But, it's just, but here you go again. They're forcing us on us like they did the CAFE rules and regs about the miles per gallon on the cars. And, the manufacturers had to get very ingenious with their ideas on how to reach those standards,
Well, it's like everything else. The general public's not going to do it until they're forced to do it.
Right.
It'll be a force thing, and of course nobody likes being told that they got to do something. But it's coming. I may not see it in my lifetime for it to be 100% implemented.
Right.
But
right.
I have no doubt that my grandchildren probably will.
Oh yes. Yeah. So our children will see a lot.
Yep.
But and our grandchildren. You know, I was we got a few minutes here. I was talking with a wife the last couple of days over the weekend, and I was talking about all the ingenious things that are coming down the road to us mm-hmm. in electronics. And we really got off on AI, that automated deal, you know.
Yeah.
And they're talking about it could do, I forget how many millions of calculations in 1 second. 1 second, not an hour. One second. Millions of calculations.
Right.
And then, but then they're talking about, then they showed this guy. It was a guy, but it was a machine. And he said it, they had invented it in 18 months or something like
right.
that.
Right.
And, I mean, that thing was walking around doing everything. And, you know, so they asked, well, why would you need to do that? And he says, well, because it's getting harder and harder to get people to work. And they're going to have to replace a lot of these people on some of these monotonous jobs. What do you call it?
Monotonous.
I knew it. Monotonous. I knew that word, but I couldn't find it. It yeah. wasn't in my hard drive right now.
Yeah.
So, but they're going to replace them with the machines. And we already see that a lot in the manufacturing plants.
Well, you know what's going to push that is this minimum wage increase that they're doing. California's starting to see it a little bit, you know, because they up their minimum wage to $20 an hour.
Right.
Wendy's is testing out
yeah.
a bunch
yeah.
of that.
They go, their kiosks and all, they're going to get rid of the order takers.
Right.
And they're going to get rid of the people that hand you the food.
Yep.
You're going to put your money in the machine, and it's going to give you your change back.
Right.
You know? But let me tell you something. You're not going to buy no damn $2 hamburgers.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
$25.
They're going to be $20 hamburgers.
That's right. That's
you know? And the yeah. cost factors are going so high. Between that and the cost of inflation on our foods,
mm-hmm.
you know? Everything we got's going up except our wages.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And as guys like me that's on Social Security, ours ain't going up. They're going to give us, what, 3.4%? Big damn deal.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But, you yeah. know, it's just like the groceries. It's just unbelievable. I saw a deal on the internet the other day and I shared it. The most expensive item that we have confronted with this day in the last 2 years was a grocery cart. It showed a picture of a grocery cart.
Yeah.
That's the most expensive item that we've got
right.
that we're having to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just go to a convenience store or go through a drive-thru and pick up one of the special meals that they have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You want a number four that used to be, you know, $8, well,
right.
it's probably $15 or
yeah.
$16 yeah. now. You know, it's
well, the,
it's
the,
getting way more expensive.
Right, the drive-thrus and fast food places aren't the most economical places to eat now.
No.
You know?
No. And, you know, I've actually seen it around work, you know, people bringing their lunch.
Sure.
You know,
making them now.
Way more
yeah.
than what they were.
Yeah. Well, like
yeah.
we used to do it, man.
Yeah.
Brown bagging.
Yep.
You know, I've been around back for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, when you're married and got a kid, and, you know, struggling, trying to get everything going,
mm-hmm.
you got to do the best you can. They don't do that now. They just get a damn credit card, run the bills up on it.
Don't worry about paying that later.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. when it gets to be too much, file bankruptcy. Move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we run our mouths long enough. It sounds like it's time to get out of here tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight. And we will be back next week.
And to all of our veterans and first responders out there, a big hoorah. And we're just so, we just really tore up about losing General Cooper there. What an awesome gentleman. One fine green Marine. The boys are thirsty in it.